What I'm looking... today. Okay, Friday. Have a listen to this. The concept of a job for life is no more, as workers change their jobs every 4 years on average in this day and age. Every 4 years. As many as three quarters of the working population, okay, 75% to put that into figure, will consider finding a new job this year, while another 68% have admitted to looking for jobs during working hours. Going on those, I want to do some companies actually ban those websites. You're banned from certain porn websites if you put in a certain word onto your search engine. A lot of companies ban you from any of the betting websites. Do companies actually ban you from employment websites? This particular survey of 523 employees from a variety of industries was carried out by Ireland's largest employment law consultancy firm called Peninsula Ireland. I find it hard to believe that this idea that, I can understand that there is no job for life anymore and that people do like to change around a lot. But every 4 years? So what I'm looking for, right, give us a call on this, 1850-715-922, or text us at 51552. Let's search now for somebody who's had numerous jobs. Now, maybe numerous jobs within the same industry, but you're constantly moving companies, that'll do. Or maybe numerous jobs around the world. And they're all sort of full-time jobs, not jobs when you were a kid, you know, and picking potatoes and stuff like that on a summer job. This is a full-time job. So how many different jobs? Think, sit down and go, God, you know, I never really thought about that. Here I am, 30 years of age, started working at 18, and I've had 22 jobs in 63 different countries or whatever, which is a little bit difficult to compute. But anyway, you know what I mean. How many jobs have you had? Different jobs, possibly within the same industry, or maybe different jobs all over the place. And let's see if we can find that person. Maybe you have changed every 4 years. Give us a shout on that. 1850-715-922. What makes you change as well all the time? Text us at 51552 or at Colm Hayes 2FM. I remember talking to a guy years ago on the show. I don't know how he got what we were talking about, but it was something similar along the lines of jobs. But this guy had worked everywhere. I mean, he'd gone to Cuba and he was working in a banana plantation in Cuba. And then after that, he met somebody in a bar who was setting up a company in Shanghai, and off he went to Shanghai. And then the next thing, he was in Venezuela. Then he was in Canada. And then he was back in, he'd like 23 or 24 different jobs. Can you better that? Michelle, how are you?
Hi, Colm. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. Have you changed your job a lot?
I have done a few times, yeah.
Okay, so where did it all start?
Where did it all start? Well, I was finishing up my Leaving Cert during the late 80s.
Yeah.
And there didn't seem to be an awful lot of hope or, you know, jobs around in the area of Mayo at the time.
Yeah.
So a cousin of mine took me over to London, and we had a look through job agencies and that. And the one thing that I really liked doing was cooking.
Yeah.
So to cut a long story short, I trained as a chef in London.
Oh.
And I loved every minute of it. It was brilliant. But
then you worked as a chef in London, did you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Any of the top restaurants?
The Four Seasons in Hyde Park Square.
Oh, very good, yeah.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I also worked in Braganza, which was down in Soho. So when anybody from home would ask me where I worked, I'd say, oh, just a little place in Soho. But yeah, it was actually a brilliant restaurant. So then when the children came along, and obviously the social life and being with children at home and that,
yeah,
it doesn't really work with working long hours and night shifts and that kind of thing. So I decided then that I wanted a complete career break and be with them for a while.
Yeah.
When I went back to college then, I did care of the elderly, actually.
Right.
Which was completely the opposite.
That's a big jump, isn't it, from being a chef in the Four Seasons and working around a little place in Soho to take...
That's it.
Why did you decide that? Was it something you'd always been at the back of your head? Like,
no, it wasn't actually. It's, I suppose when we were small, our grandparents would have lived at home with us.
Yeah.
And so as they got older and frailer, and you could see that they needed extra help and that kind of... You know, it just kind of, that work appealed to me because, you know, every one of us at some point in our life is going to get to a place where we're going to need a little bit of help, you know?
Yeah,
and
God.
if it's if it's done compassionately, all the better, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I did that course, and then I stumbled upon homeopathy in my own life with my own children, and found that it was an incredibly powerful tool to have in your box, you know?
Yeah.
And I started studying that in Dublin in the Irish School of Homeopathy, and that took 4 years. And I think now I have set up my own business in Westport, and I think this is it, I think.
So you're a homeopath now?
I'm a homeopath now. It doesn't get much better than this, you know. So it was a really long journey, but it was so interesting, and I think that going from chefing to sitting down and listening to people, you know, as they... You know, as they tell you their problems and things, it's completely different. It's like
interesting journey. I suppose sometimes as well, we've got to find that in ourselves, don't we? You know, like the job that you go into at the start, sometimes it's because it's there and you just jump in it. There are times that we feel a little bit of pressure, possibly from our parents or even our partners, and we need a job. But it's not necessarily what you actually want to be. Some people are very lucky to end up getting what they want to be in the journey.
Yeah.
What is homeopathy? What is it exactly? What do you do?
Homeopathy.
Yeah, homeopathy.
Well, okay, so suppose somebody comes in with something like migraine.
Yeah.
Okay? They'll sit down and they'll tell you all about their migraine. Now, they'll tell you when it's bad, what brings it on, all of that kind of thing. And I suppose the biggest difference between conventional medicine and homeopathy is that with conventional medicine, you'll then get a prescription or whatever that will treat the migraine.
Yeah.
But with homeopathy, it's more about, okay, when did the migraine start? What was happening in your life at that time?
Right.
Any other symptoms that come up with this? What kind of a person are you? All of this. And sometimes, you know, clients would kind of look at me strange because I'm asking them the most weirdest questions.
Yeah.
And they're probably thinking, what's this got to do with my migraine, you know? But in order to get a remedy, and there's only one remedy for one particular person, it doesn't matter the symptoms. It's like putting a jigsaw together, Colin.
Pretty good,
so you have to put the jigsaw together in order to see the full picture, and then when you have the picture together in your head, that will match a remedy.
Right.
That if the same remedy was given to a healthy person, would cause all these symptoms to come on. So it's like with like. So what produces symptoms in a healthy person will cure them in a person that's actually suffering from
the
disease. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, it does. It's the journey from like chef to carer into being a homeopath, it is an interesting journey. Do you think this is it now, or is there anything else you want to be? Do you want to be a dancer or anything?
No, I don't think I have the figure for the dance.
So this is it now.
This is it. But the one thing I will say, and as a mother of teenagers, when you're trying to help your children, you know, and this was told to me a long time ago and I stuck by it, when you're trying to help your children to understand what it is that makes them dance inside with joy, what career would you do for free?
Okay,
what career
interesting,
would
you
do for nothing?
Yeah, that's
interesting. Just for the joy of it. And then you kind of can't go wrong, can you?
I like that. Michelle, I'm going to move on to Darren. Thanks very much for the call, okay?
No problem.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Take care of yourself.
Bye.
There you go. That's actually interesting. What kind of job would you do for free? And that's the job you're probably going, hey, Darren.
Hi, how are you?
Darren, you've had a few jobs, haven't you?
I've had quite a few, yeah.
Okay, let's get to the start. Let's get to the start of your journey.
Okay, I guess I could count my first job as I've been born and raised on a farm. So.
Right.
I probably spent the first 22 years of my life pulling out lambs, pulling out calves, helping my dad on the farm, and then I went to ag college.
Yeah.
And I did that for a few years until about 24. Then I worked in a bar in my local town for about a year and a half.
You're a barman, yeah.
Then I headed to San Francisco, and I worked for my uncle out there for 2 years, moving pianos all around California.
Moving pianos in California.
Yeah,
is there a lot of piano movement in California?
There's a lot of piano movement, and everybody asks me the same questions. But yeah, we were out sick, and we moved pianos for the likes of Clint Eastwood, Robin Williams, a lot of, yeah.
And when you were moving Clint Eastwood's piano and Robbie, did you get to meet Robin Williams? Did you meet them?
Robin Williams, we used to deliver his piano every Christmas. He wanted a piano delivered every Christmas, and Clint Eastwood, we delivered a piano down in Carmel into a theater. And it was just by coincidence. Yeah. He was actually on the stage. He was interviewing a guy. So we got a quick word in with him. He didn't really have to chat too much.
You didn't go, go ahead, make my day. I'd say everybody does that too. Why did Robin Williams... Why did Robin Williams get a piano every Christmas?
It's just I think it's a family thing or something. He invites all family over, and he obviously plays the piano, or someone in his family does. But
do you come back then after the start of February and take the piano back out?
Come back in January and take it out, or taking it out. But I was there when they're delivering it. All right. But yeah, I did that for 2 years, and then I came back to Ireland and decided to get my life together a little bit. So I applied for health science in UCD, and I'm working as a nurse's emergency department in Dublin at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'm happy with that, but then I decided to do a master's in conservation biology.
Wow.
So I'm doing research at the moment on antimicrobial resistance in wild birds. So I'm going out collecting two samples all over from wild birds.
So I got a second. Conservation biology. In 20 seconds, tell me, what is conservation biology?
Trying to protect endangered species, habitat, and biodiversity.
Wow. And you're going out collecting what samples from birds? Bird poo?
Yeah, basically what I'm doing is I'm screening for antibiotic resistance in the environment. So it's a little complicated. People are like, why would you be screening birds for antibiotic resistance? Well, birds, as you know, defecate.
Yeah.
And they defecate on food, agricultural land, in water reservoirs. And what's happening is they're picking up a lot of antibiotic residues and stuff like that from wastewater and from land application of manure. Yeah. And it's kind of a vicious cycle. So that's what I'm screening for at the moment. And
so basically at the moment, you're going around collecting bird poo.
Yeah.
Okay, good one. Okay.
Yeah, from every corner of Ireland, yeah. It's the first time it's been done here, so... Yeah,
so you'll become a is it a doctorate, a master, or what do you actually
it's
become?
It's a master's. I've been offered to do research in offered a grant to do, but I'm not quite sure yet what I want to do. I kind of want to head abroad, maybe, and maybe use the nursing and work abroad for a few years. I'm not sure. I'm not finished yet what I want to do, but I've had a few in between jobs too, working as a landscaper. I've many different types of jobs.
Tell me, Darren, when you were like a sort of 10-year-old running around and you were thinking, God, what? And somebody would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Can you remember what that was?
Yeah, just something to do with David Attenborough's job was always my job.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and I kind of fell into the nursing and I fell into it from a few other different things, and they've all been a great experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no regrets about anything I've done, and that was one of the reasons I think I've diversified into many different things. People might think I'm mad, but it's like I just don't want to hit 50 or 60 and have all these regrets. I should have done that. Oh, I should have done that.
What age are you now, Darren?
I'm 29.
Wow, you've done a lot, haven't you? You've packed a lot
into
29.
Yeah, I've done a lot. I've travelled a lot, but it's just... I just don't want to have regrets when I'm older, you know?
Good.
I want to do as much as I can, and all these little things that I've always had an interest in. I'm kind of just getting them out of the way and see, is this for me, is that for me? And hopefully by my early 30s, mid-30s, I'll finally have children.
Sounds good. Listen, Darren, thanks for the call.
No worries.
Okay, take care of yourself. See you later.
Bye-bye.
It's Darren and Michelle before that. And the reason they're on is we were just talking at the top of the hour. We're looking for people who've had the most jobs, possibly in the same industry or maybe in different industries, the reason being... This survey that came out shows that most of us, huge amount of us, actually three quarters of the working population at the moment will consider finding a new job this year, 2014, and that apparently there is no such thing as a job for life anymore because workers change roles, nearly every 4 years on average. So we're looking for somebody that's had a huge amount of jobs. You know, it could be in different industries, or as I said, it could be in the same industry, but different companies. You know, there's a lot of jobs there. I think there's about 9 or 10 there. How many have you had? How many have you changed? Just sit down and think about it now. It has to be sort of full-time jobs. Maybe as well, you're constantly trying to find your place or find what it is you really want to do. Give us a shout, 1850-715-922. Judy, how are you?
Hi, Colin.
You've had a few jobs, haven't you?
I have had a few jobs, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Again, let's go back to the start, Judy.
I nearly don't even know where the start is at this stage, Colin. I always had part-time jobs the whole way through school. So after I left school, I went to college. I got a job, you know, I was bartending in pubs and stuff like that. I then moved to Boston.
Right.
Where I worked In the morning time, I worked in a coffee shop.
Okay.
In the afternoon, I was a nanny, and at night time, I was the waitress.
Wow, did you have any time to yourself at all?
No, none at all. That lasted for about 6 months before I went just nannying full time, and then I'd done elderly care in the evenings.
Okay, in Boston?
In Boston, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I was kind of always doing that, and that lasted for a couple of years. So it was just a matter of survival over there. You know, you'd have to do anything, you know, to get your rent paid. And there's no job that I wouldn't do. I even used to clean apartments and everything over there.
Okay.
So then when I came home to Ireland, I trained as a beautician.
Yeah.
And I worked in a couple of different beauty salons. And I worked in a chemist, you know, on the makeup counters and stuff.
Yeah.
Then I went, I got a full-time job as a fitness instructor.
Right.
And I was a diet, like a nutrition coach.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like training people on their exercise and their diet and weight loss and stuff like that. And from there, I went to do my degree in social care work.
Yeah.
So I was doing my 3-year degree for my social care, and I went to New York, and I was working as a case manager in a homeless family shelter in Harlem.
Wow.
In New York City.
I'd say that was tough, was it?
Yeah, well, it wasn't really tough, more like exciting and, you know, invigorating and like it was a fantastic experience. Even when I was leaving that job, I remember saying to them, I don't know how I'm ever going to describe this experience. It's been so fantastic.
Working in a homeless shelter in Harlem.
Yeah, no, it was a family homeless shelter. Yeah. So I was the case manager for homeless families. It wasn't like it was street homelessness.
Yeah, yeah, so, okay.
You know, they were accommodated in the family homeless shelter, in the facility.
Yeah.
So it was my job basically just to make sure that they were doing everything that they could to get back, to get their family out of homeless shelter and back on into
very good.
Like independent living.
So where are you now?
Well, when I was in New York, then I was waitressing in a Mexican restaurant at night time to help support myself there as well.
Yeah.
I was going from professional to waitress. So now I'm back doing my honours degree, and I'm finishing off my degree while working in a supermarket to support myself again at night time.
So what's the dream? What do you want to, you know, you've had so many jobs. What do you want to be?
You know, I really don't, like, I think, like, I'm definitely into social care. Like, that's where I can see myself. I don't know if I necessarily see myself doing it in Ireland or where it's going to take me. I hope that it does take me somewhere else.
Yeah,
but it's really, you know, I think just with all the jobs that I have, it, you know, I could find myself anywhere. Even as I'd say to people, you could turn over a rock and you could find me there.
Wow,
you
know, some amount of jobs.
You doing anything.
Yeah.
It actually got a bit embarrassing at one stage because I was working in so many places at the same time, you know, filling in shifts here, there and everywhere, that people would come in to me in the supermarket and they'd be like, was that not you in the chemist yesterday? And I was like, yeah, that was me. Yeah. Oh, were you not working in the pub on Saturday night? Yeah, that was me.
Oh, very good. Jack of all trades. Or Judy of all trades. Yeah.
Master of none.
Very good. Judy, listen, thanks for the call.
No problem,
that's
Colin.
Really good.
Thanks so much.
Let's go to Barbara. Hiya, Barbara.
Hi, how you doing?
Where did you start, Barbara?
Oh my God, it's a long story now, and I'm at the end of a flu, so excuse the gritty voice.
I have a little bit as well, so we're both in the same year.
Okay, well, I'm getting through it. I started off in footwear retail in Dublin. I was a teenager then. Of course, leaving cert wasn't important in those days, so, you know, got a job after the junior cert. And I worked in a number of jobs, temping and clerical work. I worked in the Department of Foreign Affairs for a number of years in the passport office in Dublin. I relocated to the west of Ireland 15 years ago. And at that stage, I had trained in health promotion.
Yeah.
So I worked in the area of massage therapy and stress management for about 10 years.
Yeah.
And during that time, I looked at yoga. So then I became a yoga teacher, and I ran yoga classes all around the county here in Galway for a number of years. And I had a great job with the HSE, but due to the cutbacks, unfortunately, that went.
Yeah.
And when that went, I just sat down and I said, right, I could do two things here. I could crack up with unemployment, or I could turn the whole thing on its head.
Yeah.
So I decided to turn it on its head and do something completely different. So I sat down and I asked myself, right, what have you not explored yet? So what I hadn't explored was a love of art.
Yeah.
So I inquired about doing an art portfolio course in Galway Technical Institute, and I got into that.
Wow.
So did the art portfolio course for a year, and it was absolutely fabulous. And then that kind of opened a door. So I applied for a BA in Art and Design in GMIT, and I got in there. So I'm now in the final semester of a BA in Art and Design.
In Art and Design, so, very good.
Yeah, and one of the big surprises really in all of that is when I went into the art course that I'm on now.
Yeah.
It was my age, really. I didn't expect to be, you know, so keen on the digital end of things.
Yeah.
So that's really opened the door now because it's digital media that I really love.
Hang on. Yeah. Now it's digital media.
Yeah, so it's really funny now because I have a son who's 24.
Yeah.
And he's studying games development here in Galway at the moment. So our course is kind of crossover in terms of design and digital media. So it's really funny now because sometimes I go to visit him and I'm there, you know, and we're talking about programs and software and, you know, exchange and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, did you ever think you'd see your mom standing here saying, hey, if you try this program, it's really cool, you know?
That's some
I
journey.
I used to scream at them to get off the computer, and now they're telling me, you know, the college is closing, you have to go home.
Well, now you're screaming at them to get off the computer because you want to use it.
I want to use it, exactly. Yeah,
some journey.
You know, it's great fun, and I wanted to come on, you know, and just say to people that has never been easy. It's, you know, there's been times when you really felt you couldn't keep going and life hasn't been easy, but you just keep
going.
Kind of pull yourself up, shake yourself down, clap your hands three times and get on with it.
Very good. I like that. Good advice.
On
that, Barbara, listen, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye bye. That's a good one. Here's another one. We'll wrap it up on this. Heading to midday news. I started work at 14. I've been a sandwich maker, kitchen porter, tour guide, grave digger, tombstone maker, fireplace maker, barman, waiter, bouncer, cow milker, timber yard hand, courier, grocer, hot dog stand vendor, landscaper, funfair worker, wine sales baker. And now at 33, I'm selling fashion clothes and I love it. Whew. Glad you made it, Anthony.
Be part of it.
At RTE2FM on Twitter.
Or follow 2FM official on Facebook.